Avakam could play defensive end or defensive tackle. Just a great player. Anyway, moving on. Alpharetta is loaded with receivers this year. We've talked at length about Michael Bennett, who is a Georgia Bulldog commitment. He is now joined in the off-the-market category by Brandon Terry, a big 6'5", 201-pounder, who chose Wake Forest over Wisconsin, UCF, Connecticut, Indiana, Mississippi State, and some others. I have not seen Terry play, but I imagine at 6'5", the fact that he was getting offers from those schools at 6'5", he's going to be a dangerous receiver on the next level.
Just seeing a little bit of film of him, he's definitely perhaps a little raw, but he's got a great size, like you mentioned, teaming with Michael Bennett in that receiving core, an excellent receiving core for Alpharetta.
Yeah, moving on, Chapel Hill defensive end Dontavius Jeffrey committed to the Trojans of Troy on Monday. He had no other offers reportedly, so the Trojans were the one to offer, and they got their man. Southwest DeKalb's, one of the best names in football, Sherrod Golightly, took his name off the market last Monday when he gave the Vanderbilt Commodores his verbal commitment. 5'11", 180-pound safety, also received offers from North Carolina State, Georgia Tech, New Mexico, and UAB. A day later, on Tuesday, Roswell's three-star receiver Chris Boyd also gave his pledge to Vanderbilt. 6'5", 195-pound athlete, chose Vandy over offers from Akron, Middle Tennessee, Illinois, and Indiana. The incredible thing here is he represents the eighth commitment Vanderbilt has gotten from a Georgia recruit in just the class of 2010 alone. Out of their 15 commitments, just shows you that Bobby Johnson is not only making this program a true contender in the SEC, but is doing so with the help of Georgia.
Amazing. You know, as Florida is becoming to the University of Georgia, so Georgia seems to be becoming to Vanderbilt. Getting some great talent out of here. Really impressed. A Vanderbilt commit, Kyle Westman, I guess we should note, he suffered a little bit of an injury. I guess it is summer job. Oh, Walton, a teammate of Brandon Burroughs, who we will talk to at this a little bit later in the show. But
of course, you're referencing the fact that Florida already has, I mean that Georgia already has, what, eight kids committed from the state of Florida.
Yeah,
so.
it's strange parallel.
Speaking of Georgia, on Monday night they landed a commitment from Manning, South Carolina, defensive end Dexter Morant. Morant, another big time recruit, chose Georgia over Alabama, Tennessee, and Virginia Tech. The kid is massive, 6'7", 240. Of course, if you know anything about Georgia football, you know their need is along the defensive line, specifically at defensive end. So another big get for the Georgia Bulldogs. Moving on, Friday, Luella cornerback Dietrich Bonner gave his verbal pledge to the Hokies of Virginia Tech. So another big pickup for Virginia Tech. He's 6'1", 170 pounds, and had offers from UCF, Troy, Louisville, Michigan, and Mississippi State. The fact that Virginia Tech offered him alone at that position is significant because that's one of the positions they happen to always be stacked at. The fact that they were interested in him at all is a compliment in of itself.
Absolutely. You talk about your universities that are position specific. Talk about running back you or wide receiver you. Virginia Tech has become somewhat of a defensive back you. And really, that this kid out of Luella, a second defensive back they've had in the last 2 years with Roderick Sweeting going to Tech in this latest class to be playing this fall. But definitely you talked about it. Virginia Tech offering this kid is big.
Yeah, finishing up on Saturday, a similar issue occurred with Auburn offering and getting a commitment from Banneker's safety Demetrius McNeil. He chose, that's the third commitment so far already that Auburn's received from a Georgia recruit. Jonathan Mincy is another who we'll talk about a little later when we break down our top 10 defensive backs. And Sean Kitchens is the other Banneker athlete. So Auburn also using the state of Georgia to get some pretty good talent in the defensive backfield. With that said, we do have to go to a quick commercial break. We will be back, though, to discuss Georgia night and countdown to kickoff, two events that they had in Athens this Saturday, and we will bring Georgia beat writer on James Butler to discuss the events. With that said, you are listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone and The Official Visit.
It's summer.
Summer.
Summer. Summer's here, and the time is right for dancing in the street. Just watch out for the trucks. Happy summer from Sports Radio 790 The Zone.
Hey, guys, Mike Bell here for Aaron's Sales and Lease Ownership. You know, nobody beats the Aaron's price. Nobody. Now more than ever, Aaron's is in your corner, and they'll work with you. Everybody's automatically pre-approved, and there's never a credit check to lease to own that big screen TV, that fridge, that bedroom set, the living room furniture you've been waiting on. Get it now from Aaron's. Don't save for a rainy day. You can do it today. Lease to own in 12, 18, or 24 months. How about this sweet deal from JVC? A 42-inch 1080p LCD flat panel TV, just $99. $99.99 a month on a 24-month lease, or again, the guaranteed lowest price in town. Want to go bigger? Yes, please. How about a big TV from Sharp, a 52-inch HD TV, $129.99 a month on a 24-month lease? And as I said, Aaron's has got a whole lot more than TVs, from computers to like riding mowers to like Xboxes. And yeah, they got fridges too. How about a Frigidaire refrigerator, stainless steel, $99.99 a month on a 24-month lease? Stock it with brew and get ready for football season, brother. Look, you can make it work. Aaron's will work with you. Go to shopaarons.com, use the store locator, and find the store near you. Now more than ever, do the math. Nobody beats Aaron's. Nobody.
It's full steam ahead for the nationally ranked Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. The 2009 season kicks off Saturday, September 5th, as the Jackets take the field. All aboard, Tech fans, for exciting matchups against Clemson, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, and you do not want to miss Georgia versus Georgia Tech in Bobby Dodd Stadium. Don't get left at the station. Go to ramblinrec.com/tickets or call 888-TECH-TIX to get your tickets today. It's full steam ahead.
Football always lives here.
43 seconds to go. Ben gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. He scrambles around, throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio home.
$7.90 The Zone and $7.90thezone.com.
We are back on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to The Official Visit, the South's only all-recruiting radio show, which I like to say makes us the absolute very best in the business. I am Scott, the Brain Janovitz, joined by Alex, the A-Train Ewell. And Alex, I'm sure you know that Georgia had a big recruiting weekend this weekend, holding two events, one recruiting-related in Dog Night. The other was a countdown to kickoff, which was a returning player event. We sent James Butler, our recruiting analyst, to both, and we're going to get James on the line here in a minute to talk about both. Before doing so, though, I already mentioned that I was at Lassiter yesterday, handling the 7-on-7 tournament there. And saw some pretty good recruits. If you are interested, if you did miss our webcast and are interested in catching it, you can visit scoreatl.com at any point in the next, whenever, really. It'll be up for on demand. Go to the scoreatl.com, look in the top right-hand corner, click watch on demand, 7-on-7 tournament, and you can see it at any point in time. But it was a great day. Some really top-notch football was played, and I got a chance to see two quarterbacks that I'm supremely interested in. One, Connor Shaw from Flowery Branch.
Absolutely.
And the other was Hudson Mason, of course, from Lassiter. And both were extremely impressive, in my opinion.
Well, I watched this event a little bit yesterday. I watched the stream. And Scott, it's really just an exciting event. And when you've got quarterbacks like those two that are highly ranked, of course, Connor Shaw from Flowery Branch headed to South Carolina to play under Steve Spurrier, and Hudson Mason really getting some attention from some big-time schools. Each of them, especially Hudson, is just a pinpoint passer. And I imagine you being up there, up close at the event, it was just really exciting to see. And if you haven't been to one of these 7-on-7s or seen them, it's all about the passing.
It's all about the passing
game.
And so, I talked to Chip Lindsey, the head coach over at Lassiter, earlier in the week before the event actually took place, just to kind of gauge what he thought that team could achieve in taking part in one of these events. And really the main thing he focused on was the ability to build continuity between quarterback and receiver, because, like you said, it's all passing. And so with that said, we got a chance to see those kids throw hundreds of balls yesterday. And a couple things really stood out. Hudson Mason's been criticized by a lot of people for arm strength or lack thereof. He showed plenty of it to me. He clearly doesn't have as strong of an arm as Connor Shaw does. But when it comes to when the field is spread, And he can kind of throw to a space.
And it will be spread.
Right,
for Lassiter.
Absolutely.
It'll be spread.
When it's spread, though, and he can throw to a space, timing routes, there's not a quarterback in the state that's even close to as good as him. He is as accurate as they come. He's incredible at going to the sidelines, which is an extremely tough throw to make. It's one of the hardest in the game. And he's got a great touch on those deep fade routes, which is, again, a really tough pass to make. As for Connor Shaw, the kid has an absolute cannon. He's not quite as tall as Hudson is. He's only about 6 foot, and that could be an issue, but he's very good at throwing out of the pocket, I noticed. He's got an extremely, like I said, strong arm, and he is very good down the middle of the field. He's not work the sidelines like a Hudson Mason does, but he's very strong down the center of the field.
No, he's a strong kid and a good runner as well. I mean, when you talk about an offense like Lassiter's and even Flowery Branch's, when it's so dependent on timing, an event like this in the summer is very, very important for these kids, especially if, you know, they got a bunch of new receivers. Lassiter's got a bunch of guys that are going to be seeing more time than they did last year. And it not only is it fun for the kids, I think, especially with bringing teams out of state, it's a big help as far as timing and getting ready for the season.
And it breaks up the fact that you do the same drills all day, every day during the summer, and it breaks that up a little bit and makes it fun for the kids. And you mentioned that Connor Shaw is a great runner, and the one thing you didn't get to see in this event was his ability to run, which was unfortunate. Again, you can watch the on-demand version of that at scoreatl.com. Moving on, though, we do have James Butler on the line. James is the Georgia beat writer for Score Atlanta, and he was in Athens on Saturday. James, you there?
Yes. How's it going there, guys? A-Train and Scott?
Yeah, it's going well, James.
We're doing well. If you don't know James, he's absolutely one of the best personalities in Atlanta and knows more about sports than probably anyone I've ever met. But, James, I know you were there on Saturday to catch up on Dog Night a little bit, and I know there were a couple players in particular you were interested in. Ace Sanders, one of them. If you guys, whoever is out there, is not familiar with Ace, he is a wide receiver out of Manatee, Florida. And, James, you were not the only one impressed with him, but just from your perspective, what did you see?
I mean, he just made plays all over the field, the one-on-one drills, the seven-on-seven. He's a shorter guy. I think that might be what hurting him as far as some schools are concerned, but you see a guy in the NFL like Steve Smith, and that ought to alleviate any concern about him being able to translate his game to another level. But he just made plays. He attacked the ball in the air, and no defensive back there could guard him. Actually, he raised the level of competition because everyone was looking forward to getting him in the drills in the 7-on-7, but he still was able to make plays.
Yeah, James, you mentioned offers and his lack thereof. He does have two bigger offers, one from UCF, or USF, I should say, and the other from West Virginia. But like I said, you follow Georgia recruiting and just football in general as much as anyone. Is this a guy you think Georgia should extend an offer to? Is he someone that you can see helping out that team in the future?
I know they have some receivers who are already committed. I don't know what the exact plans are, but after what he did yesterday, I don't see how you could not at least want him a part of your program. I think he will eventually be an impact player in college, but no, that's a coaching decision. As always, if you can get someone better, can get someone bigger with his skill set, you know, you go after that guy because you have to compete against the Floridas and the Alabamas and those schools. But this guy is definitely a player. I think wherever he ends up, he would be an impact player in college.
Yeah, moving on to the quarterback position, I know most people who were at the event or following the event were really interested to see Devin Burns and Brian Carnes, another kid from Manatee. But according to you, Habersham Central's quarterback Austin Brown was really impressive. Talk a little about Austin.
Well, he showed a live arm, and he also showed good touch going down the field. Now, there was a couple other quarterbacks as well who showed a capable arm and, you know, show good playmaking ability, but I wouldn't say Brown takes a back seat to anybody that was there. I think he's a guy that, once again, you can win with in college, sort of similar to Sanders. Sure, you might find better guys, bigger, or they have more of the numbers behind them, but from shorts and the T-shirt, watching them throw a football and just his demeanor, I think Austin Brown is the guy you can win with in college.
Yeah, we're talking to James Butler of Score Atlanta. Of course, James is the Georgia beat writer for Score Atlanta. James, I also know that one of the recruits Georgia's really zoning in on right now is Nickel Roby out of Frostproof, Florida. He was there, did not play, was kind of there to hang out with the team. He's someone who's seriously considering going to Georgia. But I know that you got a chance to sit down and talk to his parents a little bit. What did they have to say about his recruitment?
Yeah, it was just a chance encounter. They were in the stands. He was still on his unofficial visit yesterday, and they were taking in the sights as well, just sitting in the stands and watching the guys work out on the field. And they were really impressed by Georgia, I must say that. And, you know, they said, Nickel will decide probably within a month of where he's going to go to school. He looks to be an early enrollee, so he'll come in mid-year. But they were real impressed by the scenery they saw up at Georgia, just the big-time environment they have. I could tell that at least Georgia made an impression on the parents.
Right. We're finishing up with James Butler of Score Atlanta. James, I also know that you attended the Countdown to Kickoff event, which was an event solely for returning Georgia players. And you kind of made it your own goal to find out which one of the young freshmen is really making a name for himself. And from what you've told me, one guy's name kept popping up.
Yeah, without hesitation, no matter you're talking to a defensive lineman, linebacker, whoever, I guess the water boy, the first name out of almost everyone's mouth was Orson Charles, and that's the tight end from Plant City, Florida, teammate of Aaron Murray. And he's been a beast in the workouts, according to the players. He's a guy that can come in and help right away. He won't be overwhelmed physically playing in the SEC. He might be able to create some matchup problems of his own, but he's a guy that's really been impressive with his pass-catching ability. Of course, the caveat there, it is shorts and a T-shirt. You got to put on the pads. Well, when you play in the SEC and play big-time college football, you got to show toughness and ability to block. But at least from a one-on-one pass-catching standpoint, he's a guy that has the players there very excited.
Well, there you go. You heard it all from James Butler of Score Atlanta. James, we appreciate you taking your time out of the time out of your Saturday to speak with us, and we hope to get you back on the radio sometime soon.
Yes, time out of my Saturday and my Sunday.
There you go.
The whole weekend, James.
The whole weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks again, James.
All right, thanks.
Again, that was James Butler of Score Atlanta. We do have to get to a quick commercial break, but when we do get back, we will have Loganville's beast of a running back, Storm Johnson, on the phone. You are listening to The Official Visit on 790 The Zone.
Pollock and Bell.
Hope you have a great weekend. Coming up Monday afternoon,
what SEC coach didn't have Tim Tebow as his number one quarterback in the preseason polls?
Lane Kiffin will dive into that.
Plus, Brian Kendrick live from Scotland after the British Open.
Afternoons from 4 to 7 on 790 The Zone. Football lives here, and the countdown is on.
Hey, make that 790 The Zone's countdown to kickoff.
Experts, insight, and the best college and pro football talk in the South.
Getting you
ready for the fall. And at 790thezone.com, daily blogs on the Jackets, Dogs, fantasy football, and more. 790 The Zone's countdown to kickoff, because football lives here.
Hey guys, it's Brandon Adams. And if I told you the hottest girls in Atlanta and the best food in Atlanta was all at one place, you'd be crazy not to go, right? Well, you're crazy if you haven't been to the Tilted Kilt in Johns Creek. That's right, Atlanta's newest Celtic-themed sports pub is open in Johns Creek at the corner of Medlock and State Bridge. It's called the Tilted Kilt, and I love it. The girls there are as hot as anywhere in the city with those great-looking plaid skirts. The food is fantastic. Wonderful burgers, wonderful wings. At the Tilted Kilt in Giants Creek, you'll find out why we say a cold beer never looks so good.
I had a great idea at work yesterday. So, I gathered my A-team to meet online using WebEx. I passed the ball
to Carol in Atlanta, and I created some killer graphics. Then I pass the ball to
Taz in San Jose because I write the code that makes their ideas work online. Then I pass the ball to
Logan in Cambridge. I'm kind of the keeper of cool. And hey, it was cool.
So now my idea wasn't just an idea. It was our hot new product line created by our national development team.
Spread across 3 time zones.
And we couldn't have done it without passing the ball.
Using WebEx, the only way to pass the ball online.
Pass the ball. Get your ideas rolling. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code TECH to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset. Remember that code, TECH. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Hey there, man. President-elect Mike Bell here from the Shenanigans Party. And I bet you didn't know that you've got a chance to come with me, Yemi, to the Beau Rivage Resort and Casino. All you have to do is stop by Taco Mac and Swinging Tucker during July to enjoy great specials on Miller Lite and register for my ultimate economic stimulus package, the bailout to the Beau. As you're sipping on your cold Miller Lite, you can enjoy their new menu items like the Buffalo Tender Melt. Tender Melt. Shrimp Fajitas or the Caribbean Jerk Wings. Taco Mac and Tucker's got something great to offer every night. Like Tuesdays and Thursdays, enjoy team trivia from 8 to 10. Wednesday nights, kids eat free, and on both Friday and Saturday, it's pint night. Purchase 2 pints of Miller Lite and receive a free souvenir glass. You know, that's when I'll be there. Which night will you go? Just remember, one lucky customer from Taco Mac and Tucker is going to win a trip to the Beau Rivage for two with me. That's right. President Mike Bell and Mayhem in the AM. Must be 21 or older to enter. So again, get your butt down to the Taco Mac and Tucker, enjoy all the great menu items, suck down a Miller Lite, and make sure you're in to win the trip to the Beau Rivage in swinging Biloxi. It's going to be a blast with Miller Lite and Taco Mac.
Mayhem in the AM.
Coming up Monday on Mayhem in the AM, Greg Maddux honored at Turner Field over the weekend. He will join us at 10 o'clock. And also, I'm on vacation. 4 kids, my wife, and the beach. Maybe I'll fake my own death.
Morning, 6 to 11, only on 790 The Zone and 790thezone.com.
We are back and better than ever on a beautiful Sunday here in Atlanta. You are listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone and The Official Visit, brought to you by Score Atlanta and SouthernPigskin.com. We have a very special guest on the line right now in Loganville, running back Storm Johnson. Storm Johnson, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well, Storm. How's your Sunday going thus far?
It's going fine. It's going good.
There you go. Storm's actually, if you're not a regular listener to the show, Storm's been on before and is one of our most fun guests. Not to build it up or anything, Storm, so I don't want your those expectations out there to be too high, but let's jump right into things. Rumors were swirling about a week and a half ago that you had made your commitment known to LSU, but you've sort of backed off that a little bit in the last week or so. Tell us what's happened.
I really thought about it and just wanted to further look on the schools and further see other places before I make a big decision like this. So we just backed out for a minute and just the glance at other schools for a minute.
Now, Storm, Alex Ewald here. What was going through your mind during that time period? What initially made you want to commit to LSU over the other schools? What made it stand out for you? And I guess why did you you said you just wanted to take a little bit more time, but what intrigues you about the other schools that are still out there for you?
I just wanted to just make a real good decision. Me and my family just wanted to have a heads on with who I'm going to be with for 3 to 5 years. So we just wanted to on look to other schools and visit and see what's there for me.
Yeah, Storm, I guess even though you didn't make your commitment, it's safe to say that LSU is still among your top choices?
Oh, yes, sir.
And talk a little bit about your relationship with the coaches there. I know Larry Porter, their running backs coach, has played a big part in their recruitment of you. Talk about your relationship with Porter specifically.
Coach Porter is a good guy. He's laid back. I mean, he does get the job done. He has a lot of people in the NFL as a tailback coach, and if I go there, I'll be excited to work with him.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about some of the other coaches there. I know Les Miles isn't recruiting you specifically on his own, but how much interaction have you had with Les, and what type of coach is he, and how have you gotten along with him?
Coach Miles is a funny coach. He has a very good personality. He always makes fun of my name. That's what I remember about him. So.
How can you make fun of the name Storm? That's the best name in football. I mean, come on.
I know, right? So, and all the other coaches, they're laid back. It's like when it's time for business, it's business, and it's time for play, and they're laid back, and they just want to have a good time.
Now, Storm, one of the things that kind of interests me when looking at top-end recruits like yourself is it's sort of the importance of different aspects of a program. Like for you, how important is it to go to a winning program? And I guess, a couple of these things like a winning program, early playing time, and I guess the type of offense that a team runs. I guess looking at those three things, what do those rank as far as order of importance for you when you're picking a school?
I mean, it goes a great deal. I mean, right now I've never lost a game in high school, so it's like I just – always wanted to win. I just had that drive to win, so it was like I don't want it to end in college, or to the next level after that. So, I mean, just in my heart, I always wanted to win. I've never worked to lose. I mean, and then as a just as a player and all, it just, I don't know, it's just I'm a competitive person, so I don't know how it seems to go to practice every day, losing every game.
Absolutely. Storm, much in the same mold as you, Charles Scott and Keelan Williams, two bigger backs for LSU, have departed in the last year. Talk about how important their departures have been concerning your interest in LSU, and also talk a little about the fact that they are also recruiting a number of backs in this class in addition to yourself, and whether competition is going to be the fact that you have to compete there, if that's going to play a factor in your decision.
Competition is basically everywhere you go. I mean, you're always going to have somebody that's trying to take your spot. I mean, because I'm trying to go to school and try to take somebody's spot. So, I mean, I'm leaving in January, though. So, I mean, that puts me ahead of all the other freshmen, whatever school I go to. So, I'm going to have a lot of practices under my belt and hopefully get a lot of playing time in the year 2010. But it's just when you go in and you're looking for that starting position, and then you just got to work hard at it and try to get it.
Now, Storm, you just mentioned entering school in January. You've talked about it for a while now, how you've wanted to enroll early. What do you think that does for you? What do you think that does for a football player going into a tough conference?
I just want to enroll early just to get the school thing out the way for high school. So I've been doing school over the summer and just getting that out the way for, I don't have to have a lot of sweat in my senior year just to play football, you know, and had the ACT out the way. I made a 20 on that. So, I mean, just to get everything out the way for my senior season, I don't want to sweat none of it.
Yeah, Storm, moving on, I know you're looking at some other schools in addition to LSU, like Florida and Oklahoma, and maybe some more. Talk about the other schools you're considering and what stands out about each of them.
I'm looking at Florida State because I like their whole program, and I like the running back coach, Coach Carter. Just a nice place there, and being at the facility and hearing the people speak and everybody is just a nice environment to be in.
Storm, it looks like it's been all SEC for you since the beginning of your recruitment. Just talk about that conference. You know, what is it about the allure of the SEC and some of these big programs that makes you want to play there?
I mean, I always wanted to play for a big program. I always want to play for the best school. And then the SEC is it's the best football players there. I mean, you have the best defenses. I mean, every game you have to play. You know, there's no overlooking games. There's no nothing. You just got to play every game on the schedule because you don't know when you're going to lose in the SEC.
Yeah, Storm, you mentioned, I know you like the SEC, but you just mentioned an interest in Florida State. Is that the school that is, I guess, competing most right now with LSU for your services?
Yes, sir.
And talk about your official visits. Are you still going to take 5 official visits in the fall, or are you planning on ending your recruitment sooner than that?
Internet.
And talk about why you want to end your recruitment so early. I guess you've mentioned you want to get your school out of the way to get into college football. I guess is it sort of the same mindset? You want to get the distraction of the commitment out of the way?
I just wanted to get everything out of the way so I can just focus on this, my team this year. We have a big year coming up. We have a lot of expectations, and we've got a lot of shoes to fill. So, I mean, when I get to the end of the summer, let's say the first 2 games, everything should be out the way.
Yeah, we're finishing up with Loganville dynamic running back Storm Johnson. Storm, talk a little about your transition to Loganville. Last time we spoke to you, you guys hadn't really started playing yet, but I know you have now. Talk about how that's gone.
It's going great. I mean, Coach Godfrey is a wonderful coach. I mean, the whole coaching staff is just great. I mean, we get after it. I mean, it's just, When you get in there, you expect to work. They held us the expectations we got to deal with every day, and that's how we just go throughout our day.
Yeah, now I read somewhere that you're considering playing strong safety next year. And if anyone's following Loganville football, they know your presence there means you're probably going to get 25 to 30 touches a game. Could you possibly get 25, 30 touches a game and play strong safety?
If that's the case, that's why I'm working hard right now to get my wind up. So, I mean, playing both sides of the ball is no thing.
Yeah, and one last question, Storm. For those out there following your recruitment, when should we be looking to hear from you in terms of announcing your decision?
Probably towards the end of the summer, in the beginning of August.
Hey, listen, Storm, we appreciate you taking time out of your Sunday to talk with us, and we wish you luck on the football field this coming fall.
Thank you.
Again, that was Loganville's monster running back, Storm Johnson. We do have to get to a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back on Sports Radio 790 Zone. You are listening to The Official Visit.
790 The Zone, home to one of the most reputable names in all of sports. Sporting News Radio. Whether it's weeknights or weekends, Sporting News Radio. Only on 790 The Zone.
Hey there, man. President-elect Mike Bell here from the Shenanigans Party. And I bet you didn't know that you've got a chance to come with me, Yemi, to the Beau Rivage Resort and Casino. All you have to do is stop by Taco Mac and Swinging Tucker during July to enjoy great specials on Miller Lite and register for my ultimate economic stimulus package, the bailout to the Beau. As you're sipping on your cold Miller Lite, you can enjoy their new menu items like the Buffalo Tender Melt. Tender Melt. Shrimp Fajitas or the Caribbean Jerk Wings. Taco Mac and Tucker's got something great to offer every night. Like Tuesdays and Thursdays, enjoy team trivia from 8 to 10. Wednesday nights, kids eat free, and on both Friday and Saturday, it's pint night. Purchase 2 pints of Miller Lite and receive a free souvenir glass. You know, that's when I'll be there. Which night will you go? Just remember, one lucky customer from Taco Mac and Tucker is going to win a trip to the Beau Rivage for two with me. That's right, President Mike Bell and Mayhem in the AM. Must be 21 or older to enter. So again, get your butt down to the Taco Mac and Tucker, enjoy all the great menu items, suck down a Miller Lite, and make sure you're in to win the trip to the Beau Rivage in swinging Biloxi. It's going to be a blast with Miller Lite and Taco Mac.
Service department?
Yeah, hi. How much is this 60,000-mile tune-up on my 2005?
60,000-mile service is $649.
Okay, say that again. How much?
Yeah, $649. ma'am?
Okay, so tell me again how much.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Are you scheduling service for your car?
Carpool, so I won't need it for a while. I just like hearing how much I'm not spending.
Oh.
So come on, tell me how much again.
Ma'am, I'm hanging up.
Ah, come on.
When you add up gas, car maintenance, and other expenses, driving to work is expensive. Carpooling at least once a week can save money and your car. How much can it save you? Visit cleanaircampaign.org and look for the commute calculator. You can also learn how to earn $3 a day, up to $100. That's cleanaircampaign.org, the Clean Air Campaign. Less traffic, cleaner air.
Golf is big business on and off the course. And from the majors to the high-priced sponsorship, and of course Tiger Woods, we've got the guy in the know. Thursday nights at 7, it's Teeing Off with Matt Judy. Brought to you by Bears Best Atlanta, Watercolor Resort, Blue Giraffe Sports, and the Tour Championship. Presented by Coca-Cola at East Lake. Teeing Off with Matt Judy is only heard on 790 The Zone and 790thezone.com. Between the morning antics of Mayhem and the AM.
You're out of line. You know the line?
You know the line.
And the craziness of the two live stews.
Damn, boy, you're about as big as a mountain. Look like you might have played some football.
It's the one, the only... Brandon and Wolfie.
Okay.
Weekdays 11 to 1.
And there they go!
Only on 790 The Zone and 790thezone.com.
We are back on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to The Official Visit, brought to you by Score Atlanta and SouthernPigskin.com. It is the South's only all-recruiting radio show, which makes us the very best in the business. I, of course, am Scott the Brain Janovitz, joined in the studio by Alex, the A-Train Ewell. And we have another special guest online, Brian Longacre, the general manager over at Aqua Blue. Brian, how is your Sunday going this far?
Fantastic. How are you gentlemen doing today?
I think I can speak for both of us, Brian, when I say we're doing quite well. I know IJ was in your restaurant last night. He said some great things. Of course, IJ's always in your restaurant, so that's not a change or a departure from the norm. But he did mention to me that you guys have some pretty awesome events coming up in August. Talk a little about all those.
Well, yeah, we're in our second week of our summer menu, and that's going over real well with our guests. We're focusing on fresh ingredients and seasonal items and a lot of fresh fish. We brought in some ahi tuna and some swordfish and some red grouper, and that's going very well. And then starting August 1st, we're doing a Taste of Asia in a partnership with the Greater Restaurant Association of Atlanta. We're going to offer a three-course meal for $23, and you get a choice of three different appetizers, three different entrees, and three different desserts, all focusing on Asian cuisine and it's for $23. And we're really excited about that. We got to try some of those dishes last night, and they're awesome.
Now, it looks like this Thursday you got a big event coming up. Of course, you guys are located in Roswell, but people in the Atlanta area can sort of get a taste of your restaurant. Tell us about what's going on this Thursday.
Yeah, we're actually taking the show on the road. We have been selected to participate in the Cocktails in the Garden at the Botanical Gardens down there in Midtown, and we're really excited about that. What we're going to do is we're going to do a couple different hors d'oeuvres, do a little cooking demonstration. I believe it's from 6 until about 9 o'clock. If anybody hasn't been to the Botanical Gardens lately, I mean, it's fantastic out there. It's a good venue for us, and it gives us a chance to be inside the perimeter and take the show on the road.
Yeah, on a weekly basis, you guys also do special things on both Thursday and Friday nights. Tell people what they can get by coming to Aqua Blue on a Thursday or a Friday.
Yeah, Thursday nights are singles night. We do complimentary hors d'oeuvres from 5:30 to 7:30, and then our dance band, the American Flyers, start at 8 o'clock. And we'll get anywhere from 200 to 300 people in our lounge. It's a great people watching night, lots of fun and lots of dancing. And then on Fridays, we kind of rotate between Sounds of Motown, and we do some blues and some jazz and some soft rock and stuff like that. And it's still a really good vibe in our lounge. Of course, we have drink specials all day for both Thursday and Friday. So, yeah, it's a really good show.
Yeah, we're finishing up with the general manager of Aqua Blue, Brian Longacre. You can call Aqua Blue at 770-643-8886. Brian, tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, we're off of exit 7 on 400 on Holcomb Bridge Road. At 1564 Holcomb Bridge Road, and you can also look us up on the web at aquablueatl.com. All of our menus and all of our barside features are on there, and the Complete Taste of Asia menus on there as well.
Hey, listen, Brian, thanks again, as always, and hope you have a great Sunday.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I really appreciate it, and you all take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Bye-bye.
Of course, that was Brian Longacre over at Aqua Blue. Score Atlanta and 790 Zone's favorite restaurant, it
absolutely
seems. IJ's always there, of course, the publisher of Score Atlanta. So a very popular restaurant in local Atlanta, great seafood and whatnot. We always talk to Brian Longacre. Again, just as a reminder, you can watch the 7-on-7 webcast that Score Atlanta produced live last Saturday. You can watch it on demand by visiting scoreatl.com and clicking on the appropriate links.
Just go to the Watch Videos tab on the side of the webpage there, and you should see the on-demand listing for it.
Yeah, moving on, Alex, I stumbled upon a pretty interesting list that Rivals created, actually has been creating over the last week. And what they did is, I'll explain it and then critique it, because I have some criticisms. I thought it could have been better done. But anyway, they compiled a pool of players from 2002 through 2008, which is a pool of 280 kids. And what they did is they went, they compiled the pool from their top 100s of each of those, from each of those years. So the top 100 in 2002, the top 100 in 2003, the top 100 that they did in 2004, and so on through 2008. And they picked the best player at each of those numbers through those 7 years. So at number 100, they had 7 players to choose from. The 100th ranked player in 2002, the 100th ranked player in 2003, the 100th ranked player in 2004, and so on. And they did it all the way. So far, they've gone all the way through 60. So they've ranked 40, the top 40 of those 7 years at each of those positions, or I should say at each of those numbers. And it yielded some interesting things. Before I go on, I would rather have seen them take that pool and re-rank them, just in a top 100, the top 100 players over the last 7 years. Of course, they didn't do that, but you know, they came up with something that's relatively interesting.
Well, I think it's interesting as a look back, you know, looking at all these great players that have been drafted so highly and had great college careers, and you look at where they were in the 100 listing, you talk about the top 100 kids in any class. I mean, those are the best of the best. There's a lot of names on there that no one's ever heard of, no one's ever seen. I mean, you look at the recruits that didn't make it, and that's interesting as well.
Yeah, no, and it tells you two other things. It tells you how good is Rivals at ranking, and it tells you it provides an interesting look back at some players who were ranked perhaps not as highly as they should have been. No, Sean Moreno is, for Georgia fans, a perfect example. He was ranked, what was it? Let me look.
73rd.
In the 73rd that year. He should have been higher in hindsight. Cedric Ellis, a defensive tackle out of USC, was 68, should have been higher. Whoa. Reggie Nelson, 61, the safety out of Florida, who's now in the Jacksonville Jaguars, should have been a little higher. So it does a good job of kind of bringing into focus how accurate their ranking, how accurate their rankings really are.
Well, and you look at Morgan Burnett for the Jackets, who I'm having trouble finding on this list. He was 70s or 80s.
84.
So, I mean, you know, it's fairly accurate in that, like we said, the top 100 are the best of the best. Not all of them are going to pan out. Some of those guys in the towards the latter end of the 100 are going to become first-day picks. Morgan Burnett certainly is going to be a first-day pick and likely first-round draft pick. So 84, you know, that's pretty good projection as far as I'm concerned. You know, you'll always have the guys that don't pan out, there's something happens in their college careers. I mean, you know, they're just basically struck off the list.
Oh, now you're giving rivals the free pass here?
Oh, no, well,
of course, there are exceptions to every rule.
Any projection of this, you know, like say you say 4 or 5 years in advance, as far as projecting NFL from high school, I mean, my goodness, you know, towards the end of their college career, you're going to have a lot of problems with any ranking that you come up with that far in advance. So,
no
free pass.
Jamarcus Russell was another interesting one because he came in at 79, and he went on to have a pretty impressive college career. I just found that one to be interesting. But knowing that we would be presenting this to those in their cars, and it's hard to conceptualize and know exactly what the list look like as you're listening and not looking at the list, listening to the list as opposed to looking at them. I did a little research and breaking down of the numbers myself, and if you consider the years 2002 to 2000 through 2005, those are the years those players within those years are all eligible to go to the NFL. So what I did is I wanted to look at those 4 years and see what percentage these kids are making it to the NFL. And if you consider those 4 years, you have 160 kids to choose from. Now, they only chose one at each number, right? So they only chose there's only 28 kids who fell within that range. Out of the 40 that were listed, only 20 came from the classes of 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005. I should say 28. Only 28 came from that. Well, 27 of the 40 on the list are now playing or made it to the NFL. So basically, every player on that list that was chosen has made it between those years, who's eligible for the NFL, has made it. And if you look, of course, there's players from those years who were in the top 100, of course, and didn't make Rivals updated list. But if you consider those players and you assume none of those guys made it to the NFL, which is clearly not true, you still, if you make Rivals list so far, the 40 that you've got a better than a 1 in 6 chance of making it to the NFL. And that says a lot of really good things about a Rivals list and how good you have to be among the top 100 high school football players in the country.
It's pretty mind-boggling. You think about a Division I football team, Division 1A or FBS football team. You got 85 players on scholarship at every single school, and you're talking about a 1 in 7 ratio as far as
less
these,
than that.
These
it's, play, it's, well, it's
less
it's,
than
it's,
a 1 in 7
it's less
ratio.
Less than 1 in 6, and that's if no
pretty
one.
Good.
And that's if no one who didn't make the list that Rivals recreated. That's if none of them made it to the NFL, and clearly that's not the case. I'd say at least a third of them did. And even if you say none of them did, you have better than a 1 in 6. I mean, the odds are probably closer to 1 in 4 that if you make Rivals top 100, you're going to play in the NFL, and that's amazing.
Well, I think what you see is a lot of these guys, you know, what gets you into that top 100 a lot of times is just physicality. You know, are you a physical specimen? And I think that carries a lot of players through because they develop in college. So if you have the athletic ability, I think, you know, projecting that to become an NFL draft pick or an NFL player works itself out pretty much a lot of the time. I'm interested to see what's going to happen down the list when we get to the 30s and the 20s and the single digits, looking at those 1 through 5 overall 100 players. We're going to see some players that really didn't pan out. I mean, you know, like a number one, like a Kyle Wright comes to mind. I'm not sure if he was number one overall, but he was close. You know, it's going to be real interesting to put all those players up against each other to see how they shook out.
Yeah, of course, and it's a little more significant when you're missing that at that high on the list. Another thing that I found really interesting was I looked at what teams these guys went to, and it says a lot about who's recruiting well and who's developing talent. And if you look, of course, the list includes 40 players. 5 of them went to LSU. 5 of them went to USC, 4 to Tennessee, or 5 to Tennessee, and 4 to Florida. And that's significant, I think, on two levels. For one, it shows you that nearly half the list played for those four schools, which is pretty amazing when you're considering 40 players. But two, it shows you that Tennessee is clearly not as good at developing talent, or hasn't been over the last 4 to 5 years.
No, that's an indictment for sure.
As Florida, USC, and LSU, three teams who have recruited well and stayed at the top of college football. When you compare them to Tennessee, who's recruited similarly well and not done so, it's a huge indictment on their inability over the last couple of years to develop talent.
I mean, you look at Florida with four, and you talk about LSU. I mean, really, you look at the three SEC teams there. Not a surprise. USC at five, not a surprise. Would you say over the last decade that overall USC is probably recruited better than anyone, had the most top 100
recruits? Oh, yeah, I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything bad about it.
Their teams, go back the numbers, they're definitely far ahead.
Yeah, for sure. The teams, Texas and Florida. Florida, in the last 3 to 4 years, you could argue, has been the best recruiting school in the country. And Texas has kind of kept pace and been in discussion in the last decade, for sure. I mean, they've always recruited extremely well, and they do it early, and they do it within the state. But yeah, it's really eye-opening to see that those four schools have dominated the recruiting rankings. Of course, we've only got 40 of 100. They've only got so it's the picture's incomplete, and we will continue to update you guys on the list. But at least now it shows you that those four schools are really powerful recruiting schools, and that Tennessee simply isn't developing its talent. With that said, unfortunately, we do have to get to a commercial break, but we will be back to talk about secondary recruiting violations, talk a little Bobby Bowden, and of course more recruiting on the official visit. You are listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone.
Mayhem in the AM.
Tennis expert Atlantan Luke Jensen.
I know about being bald these days. I know, get the razor out, get it nice and tight. Oh, I love it, man. I'm telling you, I don't know why these people are hanging on. Just do it. Love The Zone.
Morning 6 to 11, only on 790 The Zone and 790thezone.com.
Are you heading down to Turner Field this week to root on the Braves over the Mets? Well, after the game, head over to Stats in the Lucky Marietta District with your ticket stub and get an appetizer for free. There are no restrictions. So whether you want the infamous nachos or the $20 sampler platter, Stats is your spot. Just show your Braves ticket stub and enjoy a great appetizer at the best sports bar in the city. Stats, the Atlanta Braves, and free food. Now that's going around the horn.
It's full steam ahead for the national-ranked Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. The 2009 season kicks off Saturday, September 5th, as the Jackets take the field. All aboard, Tech fans, for exciting matchups against Clemson, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, and you do not want to miss Georgia versus Georgia Tech in Bobby Dawes Stadium. Don't get left at the station. Go to ramblerec.com/tickets or call 888-TECH-TICKS to get your tickets today. It's full steam ahead.
Buying the Brand Smart Way.
For the best prices.
Buying the
Brand Smart
Way. It's smart.
It's Christmas in July at Brand Smart USA. Come in today and save big in every department throughout the store. Get a Kobe 15-inch HDLCD flat panel TV for $148.88. Toshiba's 26-inch HDLCD flat panel TV is $348.88. A 32-inch HDLCD flat panel TV is just $348.88. Viore's 37-inch HDLCD flat panel TV with 1080p is $448.88. A Samsung 42-inch HD plasma TV is $598.88. And Sharp's 52-inch HDLCD flat panel TV with 1080p and 120Hz is $1198.88. BrandSmart USA is now selling music, movies, and game software online. Go to BrandSmartUSA.com today and make your purchase and have it shipped directly to your home. BrandSmart USA, of course, your favorite brands at low, low prices.
That's why more people say, I like buying at BrandSmart USA.
Does tax debt leave you consumed with worry? Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? If you're tired of feeling stressed over your tax problems, turn to Tax Debt Bailout now for a free review of your situation. Call 1-800-506-4883. If you're facing back taxes, wage garnishment, a tax lien, bank levy, audit, or property seizure, let our tax relief specialists deal with the IRS so you don't have to. Tax Debt Bailout saves taxpayers like you precious time and millions of dollars every year. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, know your rights and take action. For peace of mind and your free review, call the Tax Debt Bailout now at 1-800-506-4883. That's 1-800-506-4883. Don't wait another minute. Call 1-800-506-4883.
Falcons are getting close to invading Flowery Branch for the start of camp and the beginning of the long and hopeful journey towards a trip to Miami and Super Bowl 44. And of course, 790 The Zone will be there every step of the way. And I mean every step. Football lives here. 790 The Zone.
We are back and better than ever on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to The Official Visit, the South's only all-recruiting radio show, which makes us the very best in the business. I, of course, am Scott the Brain Janovitz, joined as always by the A-Train, Alex Ewell. We have Score Atlanta's publisher on the line right now, IJ Rosenberg, and he's going to talk about a couple interesting things with us. IJ, are you there?
Yeah, I am here, guys. Been listening to the first hour. I love that stat on Rivals. You know, people talk about, you know, how good Rivals is, and obviously they're doing a very good job of pinpointing the very best talent that's obviously moving ahead past college to the NFL. But, you know, we at Score Atlanta also feel we do the same thing with high school football coverage. And, in fact, all our high school coverage that comes down to basketball all the way through all the spring sports, track and wrestling, of course, in the winter and everything else, including the girls' sports. We feel, you know, that we do the best with that as well. But we've got a couple of things coming up this fall that are going to be very interesting. Obviously, Scott and Alex will be very involved in this. And one of them is we will, for the second straight year, do our Georgia Public Broadcasting Internet Television Game of the Week. That, of course, will be every Friday night. We'll do that from all around the state. Some of the best games, best action. You'll be able to watch it live as well as video on demand. And then for the fourth year, we'll be doing our radio game with 790 The Zone. Of course, you'll be able to hear that right here on 790 The Zone. We'll also be involved in the CSS Television Game of the Week. So we'll hit all three mediums hard. And, of course, the best thing I think we got going for us, guys, is we've got the only flash scoreboard in town with real-time scores. I know Alex and his group has been working very hard to make relationships with every school in the state. We will have every score in the state on Friday night beginning at 7:30. You'll be able to go. Actually, this year we've worked out a deal with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, my former employer, going into a partnership with them. And you'll be able to go to AJC.com and get all those scores provided by Score Atlanta. So, guys, it's going to be very, very exciting and busy fall. So don't forget to tell them about yesterday's webcast at Lasseter High School. We had a good time there. It was a beautiful day. Scott and I announced it, and really it came down to Flowery Branch and Lasseter, you know, which have two of the best quarterbacks in the state. And one other thing, guys, is that, you know, don't forget to check out the Georgia High School Football Daily, our newsletter that we're doing with ex-HAC staffers Chip Say and Todd Holcomb. You can get all the previews, which right now are being provided by Score Atlanta. I'll keep listening, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks again, IJ.
Thanks, IJ.
Of course, that was IJ Rosenberg, the publisher of Score Atlanta. And he mentioned what Todd Holcomb and is it Rob Say?
Chip Say. Todd Holcomb and Chip Say, absolutely.
And what they do is incredible. I mean, the amount of information they put into those emails, and it's free. I mean, what's the reason for not getting it? There's really no justifiable or logical reason to not have that wake you up every morning.
And you can subscribe by sending an email to ghsfdaily@bellsouth.net. It is a great newsletter. If you're a high school football junkie and you want to wake up every morning and get news that you can't get anywhere else, this is exclusive stuff. This isn't like and Score Atlanta has helped a lot with these email newsletters over the last couple months providing information. This is stuff you can't get anywhere else. No one else is reporting on this stuff from schools all around the state. So it's a great newsletter and keeps me informed as well.
You know, yeah, Alex, I want to move on real quick because, you know, we obviously have not an unlimited amount of time. And one of the things I want to talk about is secondary violations. And I want to do it first by discussing Bobby Bowden, who obviously did not get in any trouble for recruiting. What he did get in trouble for is overseeing a program, Florida State, who in 2006 and 2007 had 67 athletes who were aided by school administrators in cheating on a music history online test. And Bowden, as a result, has been penalized by losing 14 of his victories. Of course, he has since appealed that NCAA decision, but he's, as of now, looks like he's going to lose 14 victories. And a lot of people, the vast majority of the sports world, thinks this was a terrible decision by the NCAA, because Bobby Bowden, in all likelihood had nothing to do with the cheating itself. And of course, you have to consider that he's one behind Joe Paterno for in the chase. I think they have 383 and 382 wins in the chase for the winningest college coach of all time. And so a lot of people are kind of outraged that he's the one being penalized. And the way I see it is the NCAA couldn't have hit it more on the head, couldn't have got it more right than they did, because at the end of the day, you know, we've talked about Calipari, who has never been in trouble for recruiting allegations, but his schools have. And at the end of the day, when these coaches who are at the height of the school, who are in charge of these athletic programs, I should say, when they are not penalized, it makes the cheating itself, it makes it okay, right? They get away with it, because when they're not penalized, neither is the school. If you don't penalize Bowden, then there's no reason why this can't happen again.
You know what? As a head coach in college football, to the extent that you can know everything that's going on, you should make that effort. Now, I find it very hard to believe that not at least one assistant coach or someone affiliated with that football program knew something, didn't know anything about this whole widespread or any of the programs that were involved, this cheating scandal.
Right.
It's hard to believe that not one person with the program didn't know something about it or had heard something.
And here's
about
the fact, Matt, if they didn't, let's say they didn't, then that's their own fault.
Yeah, why not?
Then if you're a coach at a major institution, you should know what's going on with your players on a daily basis. And if you're not, then that's your own fault. And if you don't penalize those in charge, if Florida State's football program is not negatively impacted by this, then what there's no reason in the future for this to not occur again. There's no reason.
It's the nature of being a college football head coach. You know, you've got to be hands-on. You've got to be hands-on in all aspects. It's not the NFL. You've got academics to worry about, and you've got younger guys that you've got to keep in line. This, you know, it just falls into the lack of institutional control category. It really does. And this was so widespread and so severe that I think vacating wins is the only place that you can hit Florida State
where
it really hurts. We've seen similar things in recent years along these lines. Alabama recently with the textbooks, and Georgia Tech a couple years ago. But of course, that was overturned, as Bowden would hope that his penalty will be overturned. But much the same situation, although I will say Georgia Tech's was much, much less widespread, and it did not involve cheating.
Right.
Now, this is active cheating. Georgia Tech's was, you know, got some transcripts mixed up, got some credits mixed up, and that falls under lack of institutional control as well. But when that many players of your program are engaging in something like this, and you don't know about it, or no one on your staff knows about it, nothing's done about it ahead of time, it's bothersome.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why I bring this up on a recruiting radio show, because it is an example of the first time in a really long time that the NCAA has gotten it right. And when you look at secondary recruiting violations and how prevalent they are, of course, South Carolina, if you don't know, reported 14 secondary violations. Everybody who follows recruiting at all knows Lane Kiffin hasn't been able to stay away from him basically any of the weeks he's been at Tennessee. They run rampant. Auburn and it's Prowl and it's Tiger Prowl, and of course the smoke machines they've been using and all that. These secondary violations are running rampant. And here's the point: the NCAA finally got it right when it came to Bowden, and they never get it right when it comes to secondary violations. They've put all these different rules or all these different allegations under this category of secondary violation. And what it's allowed these coaches to do is really get a leg up in the recruiting world if you're willing to take the media hit. Why? Because there's no other hit you take. The NCAA has not punished any of these coaches for any of these allegations. And listen, you can report it all you want. If you end up getting the recruit who you've committed, you know, five secondary violations during your recruitment of said kid, if you end up getting that kid, how is that at all fair?
Well, there are definitely some secondary violations that you'd have to you would say probably do give them some sort of leg up or some sort of advantage, you know, creating an atmosphere on campus, you know, having different things there for the recruit to experience while on campus, a lot of which fall under secondary violations. Sure, that's, you know, that might help you out. That really might